VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. For years, we have spoken of plans that have been put in place and discussions for something called the New World Order. I mean, the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, they've got a section on their site. It was on it today called World Order. They're compiling stories on this issue. I mean, George Soros has discussed this. The phrase has come from the lips of former President George H.W. Bush, former President Bill Clinton, and even from Joe Biden. And now this talk of New World Order is just going off the charts in Australia, where numerous officials are openly speaking of the New World Order and using COVID as the reason for propelling their action. Some are concerned that all this talk of a New World Order is just fueling conspiracy theorists. Well, right now there's a slogan, matter of fact, being printed on T-shirts. It says this: I need new conspiracy theories because all my old ones came true. So what about this New World Order, and how is COVID being used to propel totalitarianism? Well, joining us on Crosstalk, we welcome back Alex Newman, an award-winning international freelance journalist, author, researcher, educator, and consultant, senior editor for The New American, contributes to a number of other publications as well. He's an author and founder of Liberty Sentinel. Alex, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you, Jim.
Where did this term New World Order even originate?
Well, there's a long history with this term, New World Order. It's been used by communists. It's been used by Nazis. But in the current context, the first time it really was brought to the attention of the American people was when George H.W. Bush, back in the early 1990s, went on national television, and then he also used similar remarks in front of a joint session of Congress. And he gave us a lot of specifics about what he meant by a New World Order, and he kind of laid out this vision where and I'm quoting here, the rule of law would govern the conduct of nations. So he's talking about a global legal system. He said we would use the UN's peacekeeping role, and that is a very, very clear reference to the UN's peacekeeping function, right? They've got tens of thousands of troops. They call them peacekeeping troops, and they are soldiers. They're military soldiers. They have, you know, fully automatic weapons. They have attack helicopters and tanks with the little UN symbol on them. So he's talking about using the UN's war-making powers to implement, as he described it, the vision of the UN's founders. And, again, that's a very, very revealing comment. We know a thing or two about the UN's founders. Joseph Stalin was on one side of the table. He sent Mr. Molotov, one of his senior diplomats, actually the same guy who signed the pact with Hitler, that they would divide Europe down the middle and each one would get to enslave half the continent. So that's who Stalin sent. And then we sent Alger Hiss. He was the really big founder. They made him the chairman of the conference that wrote the UN Charter. Then they made him the first Secretary General of the UN. All while he was supposedly representing our interests, and then we found out he was actually a spy for Joseph Stalin, so we had him thrown into federal prison. Really interesting story, but so it was fascinating when George H.W. Bush went on television and said those things, and that was the first really public reference that the American people were made aware of, and I think they kind of laid out the vision right there, Jim.
Yeah, and let's just remind our listeners of what he had to say. Here's a clip.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
You know, Alex, when he says, seeing this new world order, if we are successful, and we will be, I mean, very certain that this is going to be propelled.
Yes, he was very confident, and many of these guys are very confident that they're going to be successful. I think actually that's why a lot of people join up with this movement in the first place. If they thought it was going to be a failure, they probably would not hitch their political futures and their family fortunes to this movement. But I think one of the reasons why they're so confident that they are going to be successful, Jim, is that they are right now preparing the overwhelming majority of our children to accept this. And that's just a documented fact. I can show you the UN's international agreement. They tell you openly that the way that they're going to prepare humanity to live under this new world order is through the public school system. I mean, it's literally in their agreement. So to give you one specific example, George H.W. Bush was one of the lead architects of Agenda 21. This was signed in 1992 by every national government on the planet. This took place in Rio de Janeiro. And if you look at the actual text of that agreement, and you can read it, you know, CNN calls it a conspiracy theory, but of course it's not a theory and it's not a conspiracy. A conspiracy requires secrecy. This was done relatively out in the open. And if you go to Chapter 36 of that agreement, they say that education is going to be the tool that makes this possible. They say that education is going to bring about changes in people's attitudes and values and beliefs and practices. They say in the agreement that it has to include the spiritual education of children, that it needs to be integrated into every subject. And so when they have the overwhelming majority of the children being subjected to this, it's easy to understand why they would be very confident that they're going to succeed. I think God probably has other plans, but these people are very confident that they are going to achieve their objectives. So.
And it wasn't just him. I'm going to play a couple other presidents here, and we're going to circle back here in the program then to Australia and what's going on there. But here is former President Bill Clinton.
Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
Okay, so we've got former President Bill Clinton also. He said that he's been saying that and voicing that himself as well. And his policies sure indicate that he was pursuing this new world order.
Yes, there's no question about it. Bill Clinton, from the very beginning, Bill Clinton was on board with this. And I think, you know, he was invited to Bilderberg the year before he became president. Bilderberg is a gathering of really some of the world's top globalists, the bankers of the world, and really probably among the most influential people on the planet come there. And they always invite these kind of obscure political figures that you kind of scratch your head. Why would they invite a governor of Arkansas that nobody's ever heard of to their little club? Why would they invite some, you know, random member of parliament called Tony Blair to their little club? These are supposed to be elites, and they're inviting some no-name governor, some no-name member of parliament, and then you find out, oh, it was like a job interview. So Bill Clinton must have said the right things at his Bilderberg meeting that he attended, and then he was suddenly catapulted into the national spotlight and became the president of the United States. And I think one of the reasons why he had the fervent support of the establishment, and I think the same is true for his wife, Hillary, is because they embraced this concept of a new world order, and they showed that through their actions.
They sure did. And not to be outdone, we've got our current president also, Joe Biden, and just a couple clips from him as well. Here we go.
To lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
Something he promoted there, and also this.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Yeah, they're not just pulling this out of a hat. I mean, there is something that's behind this here, Alex.
There absolutely is. And in fact, Joe Biden gave even more insight into his view on this. He actually wrote an entire column. It was published by the Wall Street Journal back in the 1990s. The title of it, and I'm not kidding here, was How I Learned to Love the New World Order. And then he calls then for a radical expansion of the powers of the United Nations. He calls for a radical expansion of the UN's armed forces, of their so-called peacekeeping troops. He calls for the UN to be given the ability to enforce its will all over the planet using force. And so, I mean, they're all, you know, they like to squabble on our television screens when election time comes around, and they argue about, you know, oftentimes very trivial things. But on the really important issues, like this idea that we should have a new world order where the UN, the vision of the UN's founders is going to be implemented, they're really all on the same page. It's quite remarkable.
So who are the founders?
Of the United Nations. We talked about a couple of them. Mr. Molotov was one of the crucial guys. That was Stalin's foreign agent, and mm-hmm. then we had on our side Alger Hiss,
who
was thrown in prison. But there was many others too. John Foster Dulles was a critical player in this. Very interesting fellow. He actually wrote a book called War or Peace. It was published in 1950, where he just came out and said it, that the goal all along was to eventually turn the United Nations into a true world government. And so John Foster Dulles was our Secretary of State at that time. He was also one of the co-founders of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is probably the primary driver of this New World Order agenda here in the United States. They're based in New York, very influential, completely bipartisan. They dominate basically every presidential administration of my entire life, with the possible exception of Donald Trump. Extremely influential people. And I mean, they tell you what they're doing. They have a magazine called Foreign Affairs where they openly outline their plans for building a one-world government. I've got clippings from that magazine where they say in as many words that they are going to put a world government into place. And again, they if you look at the cabinets of Bush, of Clinton, of Biden, of you know, going back even way before that, all the way back to Nixon and to Gerald Ford and to Jimmy Carter, they're always dominated by members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and there's only a few thousand of them. And one of the really, really good sources of information for people who want to know about the role that the Council on Foreign Relations plays in this movement toward a one-world system that they're calling the World Order, the New World Order, is a book by Admiral Chester Ward. He had actually been a member. He was, you know, top Navy official, and he joined, and he spent 16 years as a member, and then he defected. He left the organization, and he tried to blow the whistle, so he teamed up with Phyllis Schlafly, and this book called Kissinger on the Couch, he just explains in plain English that the primary objective of this group called the Council on Foreign Relations is to impose a one-world order on humanity. It's to surrender the sovereignty of the United States and build this one-world order project. And he says that they passionately loathe the idea of America first, the idea of American sovereignty. And so they've really hijacked the government power, the military power, and the economic might of the American people and put it at the service of this agenda. And we just heard very clearly from multiple American presidents that this agenda for a one-world order is not only fully supported, but it's at the top of their priority list.
Yeah, you mentioned Kissinger here as well, former Secretary of State. Here's a brief clip from him.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
It sounds kind of creepy, Alex.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Incredibly creepy. And the whole movement is creepy, and you look at the people involved, and you know, the Bible tells us to judge things by their fruit. And if you look at the fruit that has been produced by these movements, by these organizations, by this fanatical drive to obliterate the sovereignty of the United States, what you see is mass death, war, chaos, famine, horrible, horrible things. And so I think it's very easy to discern the true nature of this movement. I mean, and I was raised, Jim, in an environment where this was all the rage. I mean, I went to international schools. I grew up around the world. And so I was in the schools where they were training up the kind of the future managerial elites that would run this new world order. And we were always told that the coming world order was intended to bring about peace and harmony on earth. And, you know, we just need to get rid of nation states because then we can end wars and things like that. But as I started digging into this and looking at the character of the people involved here, it became very obvious to me that that was just a smokescreen. That was a cover story. This really has very little to do with world peace. It has much more to do with control and domination. And I think outside of a biblical context, it really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, indeed. And folks, okay, we're going to bring this back now to COVID. How does this all relate to COVID? And we're going to have some further audio clips here about what's going on in Australia, where they're calling and even declaring this a new world order. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is the ocean salty?
Chris, salt is added to the ocean on a daily basis as rain falls on the land surface, dissolving salt, which then gets into the rivers and ultimately to the ocean. And we can measure how much salt is carried in the rivers. We also know how much salt is in the ocean. A simple division of the amount of salt by the rate at which it's added shows us that the age of the Earth's oceans is far too young to have allowed for evolution, because evolution assumes that life evolved in a salty sea long ago. But if the oceans were old, they would already be so choked with salt that life would be impossible. You see, Chris, the direct scientific observations do not support the evolution idea. They do support recent creation, and that's the recent creation we read about when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest here today on the program, website, thenewamerican.com. We're talking about this New World Order. We've heard some of these clips from history past, ladies and gentlemen, but we have the ghost of Christmas present here as well, as it relates to what is taking place, especially in Australia. And it is amazing to see what is unfolding there. Alex, I know, though, at New American, for years, the magazine's been reporting on this, been warning about this, and yet it's still, you've been branded as, you know, wearing tinfoil hats. You know, just conspiracy theory. There's nothing to this, but we're going to see what's not only happened in the past and the statements. I mean, all these presidents talking about this. We've got other individuals as well that have been doing so, but it is really coming forth, you know, and foremost here in Australia, where they are very talking openly about a new world order. But set the stage for us. What is going on in Australia, even as it relates to these very draconian restrictions?
Yeah, what's going on in Australia, for those who have not been following the news, is simply mind-boggling. I mean, I've never seen any kind of tyranny like this enforced in, you know, in a modern free nation. We are seeing, I mean, basically a totalitarian biomedical police state where you are not allowed to leave your home. You're not allowed to congregate with people outside of your home. You're only allowed to leave your house one person at a time to do essential shopping. And the police are setting up checkpoints and demanding your papers and asking where you're going and what you're doing and where you've been. And you're only allowed to leave your house for X number of minutes. I mean, this is the stuff that it just, it's flabbergasting. And you're right, too, that the people who warned that there were totalitarians who were hoping to implement this kind of totalitarian system, the New American, foremost among them, were ridiculed, were demonized, were called things like conspiracy theorists. And now the tune has changed dramatically. Now you're not a conspiracy theorist for warning about these things anymore. Now you're a public safety hazard. Now you're an extremist not thinking that we need tyranny. Right. To stop the COVID.
Folks, I mean, some of these restrictions are just outlandish. I mean, that was it 6 reasons to leave your house in metropolitan Melbourne and Mitchell Shrine, shopping for essentials, authorized work if you cannot work from home or education, exercise up to 4 hours, caregiving, compassionate medical reasons. You can go out to get vaccinated or limited outdoor social interaction with another. And what is that limited social action? Well, one person can meet with another person, not from their household, for a picnic, a walk, or other outdoor activity. And additionally, up to 5 adults from 2 households will be given ability to gather outdoors if all adults have received both doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. It goes on about entertainment venues. Can I go out at night? People in metropolitan Melbourne must stay home between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. How far can I travel from home? The distance you can leave home for shopping for necessary goods and services, exercise, and outdoor social interaction will increase from 10 kilometers to 15 kilometers in metropolitan Melbourne and Mitchell Shire. On and on this goes, Alex. I mean, the when and where, that they're even saying that people even have to wear their mask when they're drinking out of doors in some places. You can't, you're forbidden to have visitors into your home. It is very, very onerous there.
Yeah, it really is. And I think Australia is at the most extreme end. I don't know of any other country that has imposed totalitarianism on this level, but I can guarantee you if the governor of California, if the governor of Illinois, if the governor of New York thought that they could get away with imposing that in their states, they would. And if Joe Biden thought he could get away with imposing that across the entire country, he would do it. That's the direction we're moving in. And these people have been very clear about their objectives. I mean, they've been going on TV and they've told us that they don't think we should be able to participate in society unless we get these experimental injections for supposedly to keep us safe from COVID. They are trying to build a totalitarian police state. And just as you said, when we used to warn about it, it was called ridiculous. It was called a conspiracy theory. Now people are being demonized for suggesting that there are other ways to deal with public health issues that don't involve tyranny.
I'm going to air a series of clips and have you comment after each one. The first one I have here is Brad Hazard. He's the New South Wales Minister for Health. And here's what he had to say. Brad Hazard.
This is a world pandemic. It's a one in 100 year event. So you can expect that we will have transmission from time to time, and that's just the way it is. We've got to accept that this is the new world order.
Alex.
Yeah, the new world order. I love the Australian accent. It's so cute until you hear it in this context. It's not so cute anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what they're planning. And there's actually a really interesting report, and I couldn't stop thinking about it when I was listening to these clips from these Australian government officials announcing the new world order. It was put out by the Rockefeller Foundation. It was put out in 2010, and it was called Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development, something along those lines. And it had four different scenarios about how we could move toward this one world system that they envision. One of those scenarios was called Lockstep, and it envisioned this novel respiratory virus coming out of China that was going to cause totalitarianism around the world. In fact, they said that this would cause people to beg for authoritarian measures, and that's the word they use, authoritarian measures. And the thing that stuck with me the most from this report is that they say that even after the pandemic faded, the authoritarian measures stuck and even intensified. And so they've been kind of dangling this carrot in front of us with a stick behind it that, hey, if you just comply with all this stuff, if you just give up all your rights, if you just submit to these vaccines, if you just agree to carry a vaccine passport, if you just submit to not being able to go to work, then eventually there's going to be, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, and eventually we can kind of return to at least a little bit like how it used to be. But if you read the documents where they had been planning for these scenarios long, long before it actually started, they make very clear that there will be no going back to normal. And so I think there's still a lot of Australians who see that. They say, well, okay, we're in the new world order, but it's a 1-in-100-year event. Well, that means after this 1-in-100-year event, we're going to go back and we're going to have our freedoms back. And what they're not understanding is that, no, the new world order that these people are developing does not intend to let you reclaim your freedoms. In fact, they're going to keep taking them even after the pandemic fades.
We're going to air a couple more clips back-to-back here. We've got Dr. Kerry Chant, who's the chief health officer of New South Wales, and let's listen to her.
Exposure sites be put back in place, especially with reopening and people going back to pubs and stuff? Because our exposure sites still, will they be put back in place to be listed once we are reopening? Because they're not at the moment.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the new world order. And yes, it will be pubs and clubs and other things if we have a positive case there. Our response may be different if we know that people are fully vaccinated. So we're working through a number of those issues, but we will have to reflect and learn.
Okay, so here we have a contract tracing to see what that looks like in the new world order. And then here is also the Premier of Queensland. This is Anastasia Palaszczuk, and here's what was said there.
This is a commitment by the Wagner family working with the Queensland government to say to the people of Queensland, we want to keep you safe. And the best way to keep you safe and to keep Delta out of Queensland is to build as quickly as possible a regional quarantine facility. I have listened to Queenslanders. I know how much they support a regional quarantine facility to be in Queensland. They want their community kept safe. That's what they're saying to me, and we are delivering it. This is a race. We are up against a highly infectious Delta variant that's sweeping the world. We don't know what's next. We need to get these facilities up and running. And everybody has seen how successful Howard Springs is.
Alex, you're calling them regional quarantine facilities.
Yes, and these are popping up all over the world. It's not just in Australia. The World Health Organization has issued a lot of guidance on this. And they've been threatening this for a long time. And it goes right along with the contact tracing. In fact, I've got videos of senior officials at the World Health Organization, including Dr. Michael Ryan. He is the director of emergencies there, saying that we're going to use this contact tracing, and if we suspect that you are infected or that you were infected, we're going to have to, and he says we're even going to have to go into homes, and we're going to have to look into families, and if somebody there is suspected to be infected, we're going to have to remove that person from their home and quarantine them in these so-called quarantine facilities. Canada has constructed a bunch of these. A lot of people are calling them COVID camps. In the United States, there are several governors who've expressed an interest and a willingness to proceed down this route. Actually, in California, I've got a video from the director of public health for Ventura County saying the exact same thing that the World Health Organization director of emergency said. He said, we're going to have to go into people's homes go into families, and if they don't have enough bathrooms in their house, for example, we're going to have to take people out of those homes and put them into these quarantine facilities. So this is really unprecedented in the history of humanity. There's never been an example where we've had a public health issue where they were talking about breaking up families and forcing people to quarantine, especially for a medical issue like COVID, where really if you don't get put on the Fauci protocol, you're almost certain to survive unless you're extremely overweight and way up there in years. It's really incredible. And the fact that they're announcing all this like it's a good idea to the Australians and just, you know, par for the course, I think it really speaks volumes about where this is all headed and where these people want to go.
I also want to play a very forceful comment here from the Premier of Victoria. This is Daniel Andrews.
To protect the health system, we've got everybody locked down. We're going to move to a situation where, to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. If you're making the choice not to get vaccinated, then you're making the wrong choice. You're making the wrong choice. And for safety's sake, and for the back to that point about how much work our nurses have to do, as this becomes absolutely a pandemic of the unvaccinated and we open everything up, it's not going to be safe for people who are not vaccinated to be roaming around the place spreading the virus. That's what they'll be doing. So there's every reason to get vaccinated. And there are appointments available, and there'll be even more appointments available throughout September, October, November. Let's get to those thresholds as fast as we possibly can. But yes, there's going to be a vaccinated economy, and you get to participate that. You get to participate in that if you are vaccinated. Now, that's not right now, because of course there's many more people who want to get vaccinated than we actually can get through the system. But we're going to get to a point where everybody who can get vaccinated will have been offered the chance to do so. And we are not going to have a situation, well, at least not in Victoria, where we lock the whole place down to protect people who won't protect themselves. These go and get vaccinated.
Alex, this almost sounds like a mirror of President Biden, who just recently said, too, this past Friday, he said, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, Biden said. He said 25% of Americans who are not vaccinated are causing a lot of damage. And it's a mirror of what's going on here in Australia, what they're saying there.
Yes, they have the same talking points very clearly, and I think the reason why is obvious. But I hope people are paying very careful attention to this rhetoric. This is the kind of rhetoric that we see before genocide. This is the kind of rhetoric that we see before societies lose their mind and start slaughtering each other. It's extremely, extremely dangerous to be pitting two groups in society against each other like this and to be blaming a minority of society for all the problems allegedly being caused. What's interesting as well is that it's not even true. The government's own scientists have confirmed now that people who are fully vaccinated are spreading the disease, they're catching the disease. In fact, I got a report from the UK government, from the government of the United Kingdom, just a few weeks ago, where they admitted that more than two-thirds of all the people who died from the Delta variant were fully vaccinated, Jim.
We're going to take a quick break. Folks, we've got more discussion here after the break. We're going to come back to this very point here. Alex Newman is with us, thenewamerican.com, the website, and we'll be back in just a minute here as we talk about COVID and the New World Order.
Babylon is mentioned nearly 300 times in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. God's end-time program for Babylon has its roots in the historical account of the Tower of Babel. Their leader Nimrod, whose name means rebellion or revolt, led the people in defiance against God, pursuing what he saw as a new world order. In the book Babylon, the bookends of prophetic history, author Dr. Andy Woods reveals it's not only the old Babylon that pursued such a path, but believes the scriptural evidence points to the new Babylon that will be rebuilt as the headquarters of the Antichrist, will serve as a political authority over the earth, and the future seat of global religious authority. He examines the scriptures that call for a futuristic, literal Babylon in God's end times program. Copies of Babylon are available for a donation of $16 when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is our guest here today on the program. He is a freelance journalist. He is the senior editor for The New American. And Alex, I know you've done numerous issues on the deep state, the Great Reset. We've done interviews on this as well here in Crosstalk, and all these plans in place. These are regular writings that appear on the website as well as in the magazine, The New American.
Yes, that's right. So the website is thenewamerican.com. We also have the print magazine that goes out every 2 weeks or twice a month, and people can subscribe if you go to thenewamerican.com. A lot of the content that goes in the magazine or investigative reporting is exclusive to the magazine. So if people want to read that, they've got to get the print magazine. And then, you know, it's also a useful resource if people want to. You're not going to find this information in other places, right. But if you want to share it with your colleagues, the elders at your church, whatever the case may be, you can order, you know, a stack of 20 or even 100 and get the word out. It's incredibly important information, always verified and fact-checked multiple times, but people can get all of that at thenewamerican.com.
So going back to our comments here just before the break, and I quoted, I mean, we heard the clip from Australia, but we also heard President Biden this past Friday saying this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated and talking about all the unvaccinated deaths that are taking place. 80% or 90% of those in the hospital are people who are unvaccinated. Let's define, what do they mean by unvaccinated, Alex?
Yeah, they have a very interesting criteria. The CDC has been playing games with the numbers for quite a while now. So they're actually saying that you're considered unvaccinated until more than 14 days after you've taken the shot. So if you take the shot, they get COVID, and then die 11 or 12 days after you took the vaccine, or if you die from the vaccine, and I think large numbers of people have died almost immediately following the administration of the vaccine, they're putting that down as an unvaccinated COVID death, when really it was a vaccinated COVID death, and there's a very real chance it may have been a death caused by or where the vaccine was a contributing factor. So this is a complete distortion of reality, Jim, but it helps feed this false narrative that the President of the United States, that many of the governors are out there peddling.
I'd like to examine this even where the rubber meets the road as to some things that are going on in Congress even this week. We know there's great debate about this $3.5 trillion reconciliation package. And you listen to the media, and it's all about money. 3.5. Well, maybe it'll come down to 2.8. But they don't get into the substance of what's in there. And Alex, there's so much in this legislation itself. It's like you got to pass it to find out what's in it. But some of these the tentacles of this thing include like a requirement on banks and financial institutions that they're going to have to report to the IRS deposits and withdrawals that are $600 or more. They're going to be looking at commercial accounts, people's personal accounts, any transaction of $600 or more. The bank, the credit union, the financial institution is going to be required to report this to the IRS. And I'm thankful there are banks and credit unions that are speaking up, telling their people about this thing, but the country needs to wake up as to really what's at stake here. But this is all part of this $3.5 trillion package, as well as so many other policy issues that are the liberals' wish list.
Yes, that's exactly right, Jim. And if you break down the things that are in this bill, and I don't think anybody in the world, anybody on the planet understands the full scope of everything that's in here, but if you start looking, you don't even have to scratch the surface until you see all sorts of things that are extremely troubling, extremely unconstitutional, like this thing with the IRS. Mm-hmm. We live in a system where we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And if the government wants to rifle through our papers, our houses, our effects, our banking details, then they're supposed to be required to have probable cause. They're supposed to go to a judge to ask for permission to search a particular place, detailing the things that they expect to find, and then the judge needs to sign off on that so that they can have a warrant and actually do it. We're witnessing a total restructuring of our system of government, and this bill is going to really accelerate that process like we've never seen. One of the things that I found in there was a massive grant to local and city and state governments around the country to start building smart cities. And if you look into what smart cities are, they're going to wire everything to the internet, where everything will become a surveillance tool. You will be tracked in every possible way. They're implementing a lot of the Great Reset recommendations. They're actually implementing a lot of the Paris Agreement, the climate shenanigans, through this bill. They tried to bring in amnesty for probably 10 to 15 million illegal immigrants, Fortunately, the Senate parliamentarian ruled that out of order, said, you know, that's not a budget issue. You can't put that in here, because the way they're trying to ram this through is by saying it's a budget bill, and that way they don't have to deal with filibuster and things like that. So this is, I think, a full frontal assault on the United States of America and on our system of government, and it's happening without Americans even realizing that it's happening.
Yes, and the infrastructure legislation as well. Alex, I also understand, and this is all part of this New World Order. This is all part of this Great Reset that has been warned about, and I understand, too, there's an entity called Dichotomy that's partnering with MasterCard and the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, actually creating technology that will connect people's purchases to a carbon value, some kind of carbon score, and if you have too many purchases or something and accelerate that allotted carbon credit score or whatever you can have, it could negate your purchase.
That's right, and they're already implementing this in places like the Netherlands. Very, very troubling, and this is what they want at the global level. It's part of moving toward a completely different economic and political system. See, in America, we had a free market economy and a Republican form of government. That has nothing to do with political parties, but we had a Republican form of government where we were a self-governing people under law. Now, the ultimate law comes from God. God said, thou shalt not steal, and so we say you have a right to property. God said, thou shalt not murder, so you have a right to your life. So this was the foundation of our Republican form of government. Well, we're moving away from that now toward a technocratic form of government, and that's what we're witnessing right now. The effort to link all of your consumption to your carbon credits. This is actually an idea that was pioneered back in the 70s and 80s by David Rockefeller and his front group, the Trilateral Commission. This was actually based on the ideas of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. He wrote an incredibly crazy book called Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. And what he called for was, he said basically the American model was obsolete. He said Marxism was kind of the next step forward in human evolution, and then the next step after that is going to be global technocracy and this new international economic order. So they set up this organization, and they actually outlined all of this decades ago, even before the global warming hypothesis was the raison d'etre for all these policies. So it's not a new idea, but it does mean the end of our system of government. It means the end of self-government. It means the end of rule of law. And so instead of having elected representatives who will make decisions for us, the way we're going right now, it's going to be increasingly government by experts and scientists and technocrats and so on, under the guise of pursuing the public good. And we're seeing that right now in public health, where we have, you know, one bureaucrat, Dr. Fauci, who can order around hundreds of millions of Americans. That's the model that these people want to pursue, and it means the complete overthrow of everything that we have known as Americans.
So we are hearing it regularly in the news through Australia. Even their local newscasters are talking about a new world order. We're hearing it from all different levels of government leaders in Australia. We've heard it from our leaders. Are there other nations of the world, Alex, that are also talking about a new world order, or is this pretty much a kinship between the United States and Australia?
No, this is a global phenomenon. In fact, the Communist Chinese have been promoting a new world order for many, many years. I think I was the only American journalist to report on this, but a very significant conference took place in Bolivia. This was almost a decade ago now, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and the summit was called A New World Order to Live Well, and this was the G77 plus China, by far the largest voting bloc in the UN. They've got 133 member governments. And I encourage people to go read this. It is a call for a new world order where the United Nations General Assembly would be, and I'm quoting, the emblem of global sovereignty. Right? So they're talking about turning the UN into kind of a global parliament that would rule over humanity. And they want to use the global warming and all the rest of it to bring about this new world order. So what you see is the Communist Chinese are on board with this, the deep state characters in the United States, the Australians and the Europeans, and on it goes. This is a global phenomenon, and people who stand in the way or government officials who resist are being taken out. They're being removed from power. They're being demonized, and we have got to speak out against this. It is evil, folks.
Yeah, and so that was my next question. Is everybody here just a pawn, Alex, or do we have a voice?
Well, in America, we do still have a lot of tools available to us to resist this. We do have a lot of pawns, and we have, you know, to be fair, I think a lot of the people who are in government right now don't really understand the bigger agenda. They've been told the same lies that our people have been told, and so they've come to faulty and dangerous conclusions. But at the highest levels, I mean, these people are all unified with their sense of purpose. And fortunately, our founding fathers in this country provided for many mechanisms for the people to get involved. So I think we need our local governments, our county governments, and our state governments to stand up and say that we're not going to tolerate this anymore. Right now, Florida is helping to lead the way on that. Oklahoma is helping to lead the way on that. And that is one very valuable resource we have. Another one is we still have our free speech. We need to be using it. We still have the ability to communicate with each other, even though Americans have lost a lot of material wealth over the last few decades as a result of the policies that have been implemented. We're still a very wealthy people, and so we can put some of this wealth at the disposal of exposing evil and doing what's right and saving our country. But I think it's essential, and I think all the people who've been kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting to see where this was going to go, now would be a really good time to get involved before it's too late.
Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Alex Newman, our guest here today, and it's kind of interesting to observe as we look at Australia, because they are just openly, I mean, official after official talking about this New World Order. But I think the first step was this, they were forced to give up their guns, were they not? And now they're being shot at by their own government in the streets, rubber bullets and so forth.
That's exactly right. And we've seen this pattern over and over and over again throughout history. Every time before a government goes completely out of control and starts putting citizens in camps and starts killing citizens and stealing everybody's freedom, they always make sure to disarm the population. So don't be surprised to see a major push for gun control in the months and in the years ahead. They are desperate to disarm the American people, and that's coming.
Let's go to Greg in New Richland, Minnesota. You're on the air, Greg.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just recently went to a local clinic to see if I get my blood test, see if I had antibodies, and also that if they would prescribe ivermectin for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That the answer is absolutely no.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying about the blood test that, well, it doesn't prove anything.
I mean, if you've got the antibodies?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Alex, thank you for the call. They're actually showing that those who have the antibodies or those who have had a COVID actually have a greater resistance than receiving the vax. Isn't that right?
Oh, by orders of magnitude. And I mean, the studies are even coming out of Israel, the most heavily vaccinated population in the world right now. It's very clear that people who've had COVID have much more robust immunity. And I speak from experience. I caught COVID last summer. My wife did as well. It was rather mild for us. I mean, we're still young and relatively healthy, so it wasn't a big deal for us. And we have been around people with COVID many times since then. We've never caught it again. It's clear that we are immune, and we've been around people with the so-called Delta variant and all the rest of it, and we're totally fine. Meanwhile, the people who all got the COVID shot, they're now being told, oops, doesn't look like your COVID shot's going to work. You probably need to come in for boosters. Keep putting the mask on. So I, for one, am very glad that I caught COVID and that I have natural immunity now. I'm glad that's out of the way. And it's amazing to me that they're acting like all the laws of science and medicine have been suspended.
Going to take a quick break here. We'll come back with more of your calls in the final segment of Crosstalk. Alex Newman is with us today. And more information at thenewamerican.com. That's thenewamerican.com. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Since the November 2020 election, many Americans have been told there's nothing to the voter fraud claims. Reality is, the evidence now is stacking up. I can give a couple examples. One, a recent report by Mesa County, Colorado clerk Tina Peters documents voter fraud, and it documents voter fraud cover-up. She, in her report, shows all the missing files from their county computers after something known as trusted build was put in. She reports with her IT guy, who has worked at the national security level, that the trusted build update deleted many of the 2020 voting records that are to be saved for up to 22 months. Now we have the Maricopa County report that came out on Friday. Many believe it showed that Donald Trump lost and Biden won. Reality is, some say he even won by more votes, Biden. Well, that's because they found more fraudulent votes. The American people need to wake up to voter fraud. I'm Brennan House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We so appreciate the stations that bring you Crosstalk and provide the airtime for it. And just a reminder that you get behind your local stations, support them, let the manager of the station know how much you appreciate the program, and staying informed on critical issues. But make sure you support your local Christian radio station that provides Crosstalk to you. Let's go back to the phone lines. John is calling from Milwaukee. Hi, John. You're on the air with Alex Newman.
Hello. Thank you both. COVID is not about COVID. It is about control. The government has gone left. The church has gone left. And the medical community has gone left. Postal workers and members of Congress don't have to get this jab. I haven't gotten the jab. I've lost, I would say, two friendships at least. You're the spreader. I says, when I go to the dentist, they check me, you know, blah, 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 blah. How am I spreading it? You don't have the shot. And these people, on their, they're on their third, mm-hmm. you know, in a year I'll call, and they'll be on their seventh shot, and they'll be on their sixth variant. I'm sorry, I'm going to blow my gasket here. Yeah. Thank you for your time and trouble. Thank you so much.
Yeah, he's raising an interesting point there, Alex.
Yes, he is. And again, this is what's happened to a large segment of our population. They've become victims of this vicious propaganda machine that deals not in facts, not in reality, but in propaganda and in lies and in demonization. It's terribly unfortunate. I hope people will snap out of it. I think more and more people are snapping out of it, but the caller is exactly right. I mean, a big part of the American people have now just completely stopped thinking through these things. They're ignoring the data. They're ignoring the reality, and they're buying into this hype. It's very sad, and I think we need to try to reach them gently and lovingly, but we need to reach them because this is very sad to happen, and the potential implications of allowing this to continue unchecked are very dangerous.
Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. Marilyn, you're on the air.
I want to know how many people on your air have not taken the shot. I'm alone. Like you said, I'm losing all my friends. And I want to know there's somebody out there that's not taking the shot, too.
Well, there's Alex, I've seen good percentage, significant percentages around the country have not taken the shot.
Yeah, and you know, the government for a long time was claiming that 65-70% of people had taken it, and then we started seeing some polling data come out saying that less than half had admitted to taking it during the survey. So I think the government is wildly overstating the true number of people who have taken it. I know there are some communities where the uptake is much, much higher than it has been in other places. Massachusetts, a lot of the more liberal states have been much more willing to comply with this. But I can tell you where I stay, and I travel all across the country. I meet enormous numbers of people when I go speak at events and things like that. And the people who've taken the vaccine are really the outliers. And that's encouraging. I know there are a lot of communities where that's not the case, but among the people that I know, it's virtually nobody has taken it.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn. Joseph is next in Sussex, Wisconsin.
Thank you, Alex, for your work. I'd like to frame my question with the recent video of the Melbourne mother holding the hand of her 9-year-old son that was arrested by 4 Australian police. One was a female officer that apprehended her, grabbed her arm, and proceeded to arrest her. And then the interesting part is that there was an Australian citizen male that came into the frame, presumably to intercede for this mother. But then he was blocked by an off-screen Asian man that was wearing a police uniform. And I'm at this point calling that gentleman a handler. Now, I've lived in Asia for over a year, so I can with somewhat certainty tell you that man is of Chinese descent. So here's my question. I'm speculating, but have you seen any evidence that Australian government has already capitulated or fallen to the CCP control?
Okay, thank you, Joseph.
I think the real relationship here between the CCP and the deep state is the CCP has long been an arm of the deep state. And I say that with a fairly high degree of confidence. In fact, Jim and I did a whole show on that some weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look all the way back to the beginning, you see that key Western operatives, including bankers, including members of the Council on Foreign Relations that we talked about today, were involved in bringing the communists to power in China and then building up the CCP for decades and decades. I mean, David Rockefeller was instrumental in this process. So was Henry Kissinger. These are the same people who've been telling us we need a new world order for decades. And yet here they are at every step of the way helping to build up this mass murdering regime. So I think the tentacles of the CCP now spread all over the world. They're buying up people all up and down in Washington, D.C. But the real nature of the relationship is that the CCP has been subservient to the very, very elites in the West, people like the Rockefeller dynasty and so on. And I think the evidence points very strongly in that direction. But now, you're right, the CCP's influence is being felt very strongly across Australia and even in our own capital and in our own state capitals. It's very, very alarming.
Yeah, you can go to crosstalkamerica.com. That interview happened on August 4th. And you can go back and just put Newman in the search engine there for the Crosstalk site, and you'll find it there. Let's go to an anonymous caller. Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, caller. You're on the air. Okay, then let's go to Mike in Grafton, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Mike. Yeah, my son had caught the COVID about 2 weeks ago. Now he's suffering with pneumonia.
And do you have a question, Mike?
Yeah, I was wondering, is it too late for him to get, like, hydroxychloroquine or something else to take for it?
That would be something you'd certainly want to talk with a doctor, America's Frontline Doctors. Also, there's the American Academy of Physicians and Surgeons, I believe it's called. That would be a best bet to check with her at this point. I don't know if you have anything more there, Alex.
No, I've interviewed a lot of the doctors on these questions, and I encourage people to speak to the two resources you mentioned are phenomenal. My understanding from the doctors that I've spoken to is that it's always better to start treating it with these kinds of reliable and safe medications early on. But I would definitely speak to a reputable, well-known doctor who has come out and expressed their concerns about the public narrative. And there's a lot of them out there. So,
Mike, thank you for the call. We're just seconds away from the close of the program. I'm not able to grab any more phone calls here today, but Alex Newman is our guest. And Alex, let's leave with a word of hope for people. I think it's important that we not live in fear.
Absolutely. The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And folks, God is still on the throne. He is not surprised by any of this. Christ is coming back, and we can praise him for that.
So. Amen. Alex, as always, thank you for being with us today and for the information you bring to the table here for the Crosstalk team.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Alex Newman with us. Again, their website, thenewamerican.com. You'll find things on their website. You'll find things in their magazine that you'll not find reported any other source. Thanks for listening here to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.